Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. That's our brand new theme music. Just tested it out on Friday at our great big giant faith and science conference that went, I thought, extremely well. And the feedback I've been getting, except from Andrew, the video guy, everybody else has said the conference went extremely well. So I don't know if there was some problem with the video. I don't know what it was, but thanks to everybody who came. About maybe 900 or more of our very best friends, Cardinal Burke came, Dr. Stacy Drasenkos, who I have met many times via video conference, but I have never met in person. I got to meet her. Father Terrence Herman, who I've also met via video. I got to meet him in person. It's weird. It's weird in this modern world that you can meet people a good many times before you actually ever are in their presence. And they both did wonderful with their – they did a wonderful job with their talks on faith and science. Stacy took the view of a scientist who discovered God after being fully versed in science, after her PhD and after her studies in photosynthesis, and Father Ehrman took a interesting kind of literary view of the relationship between faith and science, and he gave us a wonderful kind of interpretive talk about the new atheist. But then he talked about Flannery O'Connor's great book Wise Blood and her fascinating character Hazel Motes. So that was all just great. It was just a wonderful time, and it's exhausting and exciting and I just don't know how to describe it. It was the best conference we have ever put on. Erica Olson did a great job organizing it. She's here next to me in the studio, so that's why part of why I'm saying that. But she also did a great job organizing it, and we're so grateful to everybody who came. And I hope you'll come to next year's conference. There's something special going on with these conferences year after year. I must say, in a time when I think it's easy to feel a little down as a Catholic, you know the reasons. I won't rehearse the reasons for you, but in a time when it definitely is it may be even tempting to feel a bit down, to be around about 1,000 people who are fully embracing the faith and excited about the faith and ready to learn and ready to go forth and share the good news. It really picks you up. So I feel pretty picked up by that. Erica, do you feel picked up by that? She says absolutely. She feels picked up by that. So on to our show for today. Today we're going to talk about the book Made This Way: How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. So if maybe you have a kid or you are a kid and you want some help with the toughest moral issues of the day, today is your day to call. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Our guest is the author of that book, Layla Miller. Layla is the author of Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children, Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak, and also Raising Chaste Catholic Men. She blogs at Little Catholic Bubble, and she and her husband live in Phoenix, Arizona. And as I said, she is one – well, I say she's the author. I do not believe that Trent Horn contributed anything to this. That's my suspicion anyways. But both of their names are on it. Layla Miller and Trent Horn Made This Way: How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. Layla Miller, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Cy. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Did Trent contribute at all to this, or was this
not at all? But you know, he just needed another book on his.
That's what I thought might have happened.
I finally
got to the truth.
On.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't say anything.
So what gave you the idea that I'm going to pretend for the rest of the show that it's a two-person job. So
okay.
What gave the two of you the idea that a book on for adults on how to talk to kids about tough moral issues? What we need?
I'm going to call it providence that both of us kind of independently of each other had thought that this is a void that's out there. We don't have anything right now that helps parents who are very freaked out at the moment. Catholic parents are nervous. They're anxious. We understand why. The world's kind of going crazy. So I have always taken one approach with kids and raising my 8 kids that seems to have stuck. And it's more of a, I didn't even know the name of natural law. I didn't know that was a thing. But I'd always taught the faith kind of based on reason or, you know, as we say now, you know, what is the nature of a thing and how are we supposed to be fully human? Like, how did God design us? And so actually, Trent and I, believe it or not, we've known each other for many, many years when he was in Phoenix, even as a youngster. And not too young, but I'm kind of old, so he's young to me. But so I knew him before he even worked for Catholic Answers. And so we kind of kept in touch over the years. And then we accidentally, providentially, saw each other at the studio here in Phoenix when he was back here for a while. And I had told him about thoughts that I had about writing something to help parents with how to deal with these really difficult issues coming up now. And he had also had the same type of idea that something like that was needed. So we got together at a little coffee shop one day and thought, this is something we could do together. He's so strong on the research, and I'm a little stronger on the, you know, having 27 years of parenting behind me. And it was just a really good idea, we thought, and we did it, and it worked out well. So
it certainly did work out well, and we're all the better for it. I'm very happy to be confirmed in my idea that you had the idea, and then Trent said, oh, I had the same idea. I get it.
Yeah,
now, how this
it.
All came
yeah.
together. Any of the tough moral issues that you cover here in the book, and by the way, if you'd like to talk with Layla Miller about these tough moral issues, and if you'd like to talk with her about how to talk with kids about these tough moral issues, give us a call, 888-318-7884. If you prefer the spelled version, it's 888-31-TRUTH, 888-31-TRUTH. Are there any of among these moral issues, Layla, that are particularly close to your heart, or you really wanted to do a good job on that one?
Well, coming off the last book that I did, which was Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak, I did want to include a section on divorce because it's something we don't usually talk about. But that is one of the misuses of human sexuality. It's part of how God made us, and marriage is obviously, he made it to be a permanent state. So I figured we had to touch on that, and I wanted to do that chapter particularly well because of the people in my book, the 70 who had contributed to the Primal Loss book. And I just love those folks, and I've talked to so many people since then who also are children of divorce, and I wanted to make sure I did right by them. So that was a tricky one, but it was necessary.
Well, let's take that one. So chapter 5, divorce, and then you'll give an overview, but you also do several pages on, okay, how are you going to talk to little kids about divorce? And then you'll do several pages on how to talk to the bigger kids on divorce. Maybe we can use this one as an example about what's the difference in how you might talk about divorce with the little ones and the bigger ones.
Right. So each section, that's kind of the way that it's set up, is there are three chapters in each section. And the first is what the church teaches. Then the next section is how to talk to little kids about that particular issue, and then how to talk to big kids. So a lot of what we do, whether it's divorce or any other of the sexual subjects, comes from the directive that the church gave it was in 1995. It's called The Truth and Meaning of Human Sexuality. And it's a document that most parents don't know exists, and they really need to download it like today and print it out. But it talks about the latency period and just certain things you don't want to introduce too early to children. Now, unfortunately, on all these issues, we're kind of way past hoping that these kids aren't going to have to hear about some of these sexual issues, because the culture doesn't back up parents anymore, doesn't have the same morality it did universally in decades past. So now we're kind of on our own. But still, we have to try to respect that latency period, which is what JP2 called it. But it's the age of innocence, kind of between the ages of 5 and puberty. So if you're talking about something like divorce, I mean, you have to – they're not shielded from that. Even when they're little, they know all their little friends, you know, about half of their friends probably are from houses of, broken homes, and the parents are not together anymore. So it might be their grandparents. It might be an older sibling that's married and divorced already. It might be, you know, their own household. But you have to speak with them first about the fact that we love the people who might have not done or followed what God has wanted for marriage. So they might say, for example, why isn't grandma and grandpa married anymore? You know, they don't live in the same house. And, so we have sample dialogues, for example, which is, you say that it's very, very sad that they don't live together like they used to. Sometimes grown-ups get divorced because they feel like they'll be happier if they don't have their family together anymore, if they live in different houses. And that's very, very sad. And we are going to pray for grandma and grandpa because, you know, it makes everybody sad that now the family is not together anymore. And so you kind of lead them to prayer, and you make them understand that even if other people aren't necessarily living the faith as we are taught or as we do in our household. We still love them and we pray for them. But we're very bold about it too. We don't, the one mistake people make is that I want to say that we don't have our confidence as parents in the teachings of the church to begin with.
Right.
And so we equivocate or we try to, we like to say sometimes that we're being compassionate by not speaking the truth plainly, but I think sometimes it's a form of cowardice. And I hate to use that word, but really I think we have to face that as parents because nobody wants to be seen as mean. You know, that's a big problem we have right now as Catholics. It's like everything we say is just so mean. And so we kind of shy away and we don't want to be socially shamed by the people around us, many of whom are divorced, including very, wonderful Catholics that we know. So, but we have to be very plain speaking to kids because they see it all around them. I have an example in the book of my son who one of his friends in sixth grade came and my son got in the car one day and he said that his friend had just been crying and crying because his parents were getting a divorce. And, I had to say right then, that's terrible. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, that's okay. It's probably going to be fine. And I needed to say to my son,
no,
that's a terrible thing. And he will be in great pain from here on in. And here's how you need to approach him. And, we just can't kind of brush it away and say, oh, everyone's going to be happy. It's going to be okay. And he saw that his friend wasn't okay. There was lots of therapy that had to happen and he missed school for a while. So all these things have to be talked about openly, with the kids, but without finger pointing and blaming and, that person's terrible and you don't want to have anything to do with that person. I mean, nothing like that, but you have to be honest. So that's maybe a way that the little kids can hear about that particular discussion. And then, of course, as you get into the teen years with divorce, oh boy, there's a lot that they see, especially as they get into high school. Kids who either are having their parents go through a divorce or their friends, you need to have those discussions with someone who might now have a friend in high school who is cutting. Kids start to cut, kids start to do drugs, kids start to drink, kids start to be promiscuous, kids start to. And a lot of the times, and we don't really recognize this because we don't want to think about it, but ask your teen, do you know if that is related to the fact that your friend's family just went through a divorce? I mean, it's those kind of things, and they can kind of start connecting the dots that there's an identity issue that might be going on there. A lot of these kids then go into LGBT stuff because their identity at home has been shattered and shifted and, changed completely. And so look for stability in another family. And of course, the family that's ready there to help them is the LGBT family because they give unconditional love and acceptance and you can be part of their family. So all these things are sort of connected, which is interesting because that means, as you can see, even as we take you through the book, all the sexual issues are connected. They're all connected.
Yes.
So your children will start to connect those dots and realize, oh, it all goes back to the fact that we're not using human sexuality the way that God intended us to use it, according to our nature as humans. So they connect those dots and it's really not that difficult for them to put it all together, but parents have to be brave enough to do it.
Well, we'll try to do that this hour, be brave enough, because I listening to you, I'm thinking, yes, if we're raising children who are perfectly accommodated to the sexual revolution, we're raising them for heartbreak and a lot of heartbreak, just a bucket loads of it. So I want to ask you about that when we come back. I also want to ask you about the chapter on pornography, particularly your advice for talking to little kids about pornography and then the older kids about pornography, because it too is leading to so much heartbreak. We need to we need help, actually. Help, Layla.
Yes,
we need some help talking about these things. 888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to speak with Layla Miller about her brand new book that she let Trent Horn put his name on as well, called Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. 888-318-7884 is the number. We're kicking off our annual fall store-wide sale today. It's a great way to save money on all of the great resources you hear about here. Just enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout when you visit shop.catholic.com to save 20% off almost everything in our online store, including Trent's latest book with Layla Miller, the one we're talking about this hour, Made This Way. Go to shop.catholic.com, put in the promo code CALIVE18 and get your savings of 20% today.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Our brand new theme music there for Catholic Answers Live. First time to be in studio getting to hear it. I couldn't hear it very well. I know you know this, Nick, but I couldn't hear it very well when we were in the conference hall. But it's fun to hear it. And that's kind of groovy, that little part of it. It's got all kinds of cool little sections like that. And that's what you'll be hearing from now on Catholic Answers Live and on the TV show, which you can see on Saturdays on the Eternal Word Television Network, EWTN. I am Cy Kellett, your host. It is Catholic Answers Live, and our guest today is Layla Miller, one of the authors, along with Trent Horn, of Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, and Prepare We Must. And Layla, I'm thinking about the section on pornography, because it strikes me that because of the internet and because of a very, what I would say is a very sick view of free speech that we have left an entire generation thus far, and probably generations to come if we don't get our act together, vulnerable to really stumbling upon or coming upon some of the most anti-human and soul-destroying imagery that they could. And they're coming upon it as children. So they need preparation. And I worry particularly about the parent who says, not my kid. No, we have all the filters and we have a – it doesn't matter how many filters you have or what. The kids go to other kids' houses. Kids sit next to a kid that's got a cell phone. I will say this and just ask for your response to it. You must prepare your children. I wonder if you would agree with that, and then if you would tell us, how do you prepare little kids for this?
Right, because it's a totally different world again. 24/7 streaming of the most vile live action, you know, even fake stuff. It's just, it's awful, violent, perverse. So I think they say now kids as young as 8, it's not uncommon at all for them to stumble upon this filth. And it instantly changes your brain. I mean, it is the scourge. I mean, it's demonic. I just feel like this is so demonic. But we don't have a whole lot to say in the chapter for little kids, other than that you have to let them know. And little kids, again, we're all human, so we all kind of instinctively, naturally, are compelled or repelled by certain things. And in some cases, things like pornography, even little kids are both compelled and repelled when they see a bad picture. And so we need to teach them that if you see, there are some pictures that we see that might have people that are not, it looks wrong because maybe they're not dressed or different things are happening, that those pictures, we're going to call them bad pictures because they make you instantly kind of feel like you shouldn't be looking at them. Little kids know this. I mean, it's not, someone old like me saw pornography in a magazine, maybe when you're little, you kind of knew that was forbidden. So we recommend, someone has done a brilliant job writing a book for little kids called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. So we really recommend that. But what it does is it tells a child to instantly identify what is a bad picture, you know, to know that, oh, there's something wrong here. I know I shouldn't be looking at this. And then instantly go and tell an adult. And you have to tell your kids, you know, so if you see something like that, you come and tell me. Again, we have to remember, little kids trust their parents. We forget that. We think that, oh, all little kids are kind of, everybody's a rebel, and even little kids are. No, little kids trust their parents. So if you say, you know, hey, if you see anything that looks strange and you don't think it's right, come and tell me that you've seen this picture. We'll talk about it. This book talks, this Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, talks about the thinking brain versus the feeling brain. You know, that you feel, sometimes these pictures will make you feel certain things, but we have to really think, and we have to let our thinking brain be in charge, because these pictures aren't good for us. And so run to tell an adult, and how, it teaches you also how to tell the difference between maybe something that's in a science book versus something that's not just scientific in nature.
Yes.
So it's tricky, because again, the church teaches us that we have to respect the latency period for the children and keep them innocent and not talk about sexually explicit things to small children. We just are not to do that unless the culture forces our hand. So we want to be careful even with these conversations. And, you know, no smartphones, please, guys, with little kids. I mean, that's just asking for disaster. We don't do the filters at all. We've never done them, because it doesn't really, you can get around those so easily. But we do have the computer, you know, in a main room. It's actually up here in my room right now, because we renovated something downstairs. But normally it's in the middle of the living room.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also very open with my kids, especially as they kind of hit adolescence. We are very forthright, and we'll tell our boys especially, you know, you're going to get addicted. If you look at these pictures and you indulge that, it is like a drug, and you will become addicted, and it will fry your brain, and it will lead you to mortal sin, and you will have trouble with your relationships, with your marriage. I mean, we kind of just lay it all on the line, and they know. I mean, they know early, and we're not afraid to say that. And we don't say it in a way to scare them so that, you know, we're just these mean, harsh parents, but we say it in a way that is just very truthful. And they know we're telling the truth, because as they get older, they see their friends, and they see that that's exactly what's happening to their friends. So It's not that hard. Again, it's not that hard to make a child understand what's going to happen if they indulge this or go down that road. And, you know, keep them on your side. They should be able to come to you with anything that they want to talk about. And you, as a parent, can't be afraid of that at all. That's a huge mistake that parents make, is not having the confidence to be open and ready to talk to them if they come to you. They'll know if they're able to come to you or not. So don't be afraid of those talks at all. Even if inside you're dying, yeah, I don't care.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to just bite the bullet and look them straight in the eye and not blink and talk to them like they need to be talked to, gently and lovingly and truthfully, even if you're scared inside. That's your job. So
yeah, because there's a whole world of professionals who are making a lot of money to exploit your child, basically, to addict your child to things, and they need somebody who's on their side. They need an adult who's really on their team, and no matter what, you know, even if they have to come and say, I did this and it's wrong what I did. Yeah, but
yes,
as parents, we know, yeah, but you also had an army of professionals trying to, you know, suck you into doing what's wrong.
Right. I have my oldest son. He's now grown and married and has a child of his own. But I have a story in the first book I wrote, Raising Chase Catholic Men, about when he was 12 years old. And I walked in and he was looking on Amazon, and there was a picture. It was like an art book or something, but it was a black and white picture from behind. You couldn't really see very much, but of a form of a woman that was not dressed completely. And he thanks me to this day. He said, my mom didn't shame me, you know, because I could see he was really interested and wanted to, yeah, maybe he had clicked on a couple of the pictures, and I didn't shame him. I said, you know, it's just, that's not healthy for you, because this is what's going to happen if you keep looking, and you're not going to be free anymore. You're not going to be free to just be yourself, and you're going to be enslaved if you keep going. And he was really grateful that I didn't,
yes.
It wasn't funny, but I kept it lighthearted at the time, because,
right,
of course, he was already embarrassed that I had walked in and seen him looking at this book cover. So that's kind of the way to approach it. You know, you don't want to ever, you know, oh, them pearl clutching and you're, I can't believe clutching. This happened. Yeah. And, what's going to happen now? No, I mean, calm down. Right. You know, it's okay. But let's talk about why you just want to nip it in the bud and don't go any further with that. And here's, you know.
Do you share with your young ones that God made them to be interested in this as well? Like
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I love it. I mean, I always say we're Catholics. We're not Puritans. We, in my particular family, you know, we're very open and earthy in a way, not in an explicit way, but that's what marriage is for. It's wonderful. That's what God created us for, but not yet. Not when we don't have a spouse.
We're going to do calls. I promise. We're going to get the calls when we come back. Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. Layla Miller, one of the authors, is our guest.
Call us now with your question. Hello? On Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humanae Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humanae Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest, Layla Miller, one of the authors of Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. All kinds of great advice in there from two parents and two people who are well-prepared in the Catholic faith. And they don't just tell you, oh, say this or that. They break it down for you. Here's what you might say to little kids, and here's the approach that will work with little kids. Here's what you could say to bigger kids and the approach that will work with them. If you have questions for Layla Miller, 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. We start our calls today with Diana in Missouri, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Diana, your question for Layla Miller.
Hello. Thank you. I've enjoyed so far listening.
Thank you.
Wonderful. My question is, being a parent and a school teacher in a Catholic school, one of the first things I tell my parents in a meeting with them is, you know, you are the primary educator of your child. I'm just here to facilitate. My question is sexting. It is a major issue. I've had high schoolers, my own children, and they can do it. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. They do it through their phones, through apps like Snapchat. They can do it through their gaming systems. They can do it on their computer in a game. It is unbelievable. And I think a lot of these kids are very naive as far as the meaning of it. They think it's just playing, and they don't understand the severity of it. And I know my priest one Sunday said, "Have you checked your child's phone?" And it just shocked me. And so I did. And I think as parents, you know, there is no, not being able to check your children's phone or go through their things. He said, that is your job as a parent. And so I did. Yes. And, and it did prevent some things that were going on in conversations with my own children that I had to address. And, you know, of course, it was an embarrassing situation, but we handled it in a way that it really helped them grow.
There's a lot there, actually, Diana. So I want to let Layla respond. First, about sexting, do you deal with that in the book? How do you deal with it? And then the question of checking in on your kids' phones or devices.
Right. So I don't think we directly addressed sexting. That kind of falls under pornography, premarital sex, even all that. It's in that umbrella of sexual activity outside of marriage and how that can harm a person. But this is going to sound, again, I'm going to go back to that the parents, we have dropped the ball. I can tell you that my kids don't get a smartphone until they are, and this is going to sound crazy. My last child, who just graduated high school, actually, he just became a Marine, and he's a great man. He's a real wonderful young man. He didn't get a smartphone until he was a senior in high school. And even then, there was no privacy. So he had this flip phone that he went to, long story, but he went to a big public high school, which I know is just fraught with danger. And he had this flip phone that he was even embarrassed to take out of his pocket, quite honestly. But he is such a wonderful young kid because he didn't have that streaming at all. And then when he proved himself to be trustworthy, he got a smartphone a senior year. And again, there's no privacy. I've told all my kids forever, any texts, any Snapchats, and I know people do different accounts and all that, but my kids know the minute that I find that they have lost my trust, it's not going to go well for them. I mean, a lot of privileges would be lost immediately. So we talk openly about all that stuff, but I think we give our kids smartphones way too young. I don't get it. I don't understand it. There is no privacy. That's right. Until they're an adult, until they're out of my house, there's no privacy. I can check anything I want at any time, which doesn't mean I go around snooping because I don't. But if there's a hint that there could be a problem, I'm responsible for my child's soul. I'm more than anything else, I'm responsible before God as to how I raised those children and whether or not I protected them from the evils all around them. And they're everywhere. So we talk very openly about all that stuff. They know it. And if it means changing schools, if it means homeschooling them or taking them out early, it doesn't matter. To me, it's just whatever protects your child. I've been able to do it. We've been able to do it, my husband and I, and our kids are not freaks. They're not different. They're not weird. They're in the world, but not of it. But we've been able to avoid a lot of those snares just by being attentive and having a set of rules that actually are enforced if they are breached. So I would say 90% of what's going on and what's wrong. I mean, some things you just can't help. They're going to see something, a friend's going to say something or show them something. But again, how is that rapport between you and your child, and how long have you been preparing them for this possibility? Years, hopefully, that you've been gaining their trust. And they, I have a story of a high school girl in the book. She's a friend of my, she's a daughter of my friend who I took to lunch one time. And she said, you know, when I have questions about certain things and certain sexual things, especially that the peers talk about or that, you know, you see, she said, I go directly to my mom because I know my mom is going to tell me the truth and we have a great relationship. So a lot of it is kind of cultivating this relationship with your child, being completely open and honest when they do ask the question. I could tell you stories about, oh my goodness, the things that some of my kids have asked me to my face. And again, like I said, I just have to stay calm. And But that's why they come to me, because they're like, oh, mom's going to give me an answer on that. And I know it's going to be the right answer. It's going to be the truth, even if it's uncomfortable. So, but it is. It's a treacherous world. It's a treacherous world. And these smartphones,
I know.
Drives me crazy.
It is a recipe for disaster. Diana, thanks so much for those excellent questions, really helpful questions. Layla Miller is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. The book is Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. I think even if you didn't have the smartphones, if you don't do any of, if you had no internet in your house, or just all you had, say, was network television, your mm-hmm. children would still be getting an education
yes.
in human sexuality that
yes.
is contrary to what's actually good for human beings. I mean, it's nutty, actually.
It's disordered.
So
it's totally disordered.
What do you? What about when the kid, you know, you could have a, okay, mm-hmm. Layla, I've done all that. But now mm-hmm. my kid comes home and says something, which in a certain way you might even be proud of them for, in a way. They say, well, it's not fair that only mm-hmm. – men and women get to get married. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't
mm-hmm.
we fair and let anybody marry whoever they want? Okay, so you mm-hmm. can you see the scenario I've painted of
absolutely.
A perfectly good and diligent parent, but nonetheless, the message has gotten through to the child that there is something unfair about
mm-hmm.
Saying, no, marriage is for men and women. That's what marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
How do you address that?
Right, so a couple of things. First, you hope that you had already built the foundation as they were younger to make them understand what marriage is about, what the nature of marriage is. Because what we're finding now is you have kids and even parents, which is why the book is great, because it's actually going to teach the parents as it teaches the parents to teach the kids. Because most parents haven't been well catechized as to, well, maybe it isn't fair. You know, I got to marry who I loved and felt romantically, you know,
yeah.
in love with. And why should I deny that? Who is the church? Even Catholics say, well, who's the church to say that civilly, you know, that the government could, we don't want to impose our views. So we talk a lot about that because, again, it goes back to marriage itself. The nature of marriage isn't about feeling romantic about someone. And therefore, love is love. And you get to just marry anyone you want, because we haven't gone back the step and defined marriage. What is marriage? And so we do that here. And when you take a child to that and you say, look, it's not unfair that something can't be used against its nature. It's not unfair if we're saying this thing ceases to be this thing if we do something else or call it something else or introduce other things to it. That's not unfair. That's just saying, well, you know, a dog isn't a cat, right? So if marriage has a nature to it, that God created marriage to be a certain thing, and again, we can see that by the design of our bodies. We can see that universally, because marriage as a conjugal union, bride, groom, coming together one flesh and forming a family, and children flow from that, only that particular type of union, that's something very special it's not something the church just has as this religious kind of precept. That's a universal. You see that in every time and culture and place. You see that marriage, that a bride always presupposed a groom, and a groom always presupposed a bride. Not a Catholic thing, although thankfully we as Catholics understand it to its fullness. So if you start to back up and teach what the nature is of marriage, they will start to understand, oh, okay, it's not that you're just trying to be mean. It's that the romance view of marriage has never before been the essential element to what makes marriage, marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're just trying to put these kids on the footing of how to reason, how to, you know, we're moral beings and we have the ability to reason. Animals, lower animals don't have that. We're made in the image and likeness of God. So we can reason things out by looking at a thing and saying, what is its nature? What's the nature of a human being, a body, sex? What's the nature of marriage? And that's the way we have to teach our kids, because they live in mass confusion right now. It's chaotic. It's a morally chaotic world. They know that. So if you ground them in what is true and what makes sense, because remember, every human soul is designed to respond to truth, goodness, and beauty. That's how God designed our souls to respond. So if you can show them a world that makes sense and that is ordered, it's like a light bulb going off. They're going to understand. And then you're going to be able to say, look what happens when we go against God's created order. And you see the disaster. They see the disaster all around them. They don't see happy peers and stable families. And they see very sad and depressed and really messed up kids all around them. And we want to give them the freedom not to be so confused and to be a light to their friends, because they love their friends. So we can give them those tools, but we have to learn how to speak those words to them.
And that's what this book does, Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. Layla Miller and Trent Horn are the authors. You can speak with Layla right now, 888-318-7884. But before I let you talk to her, I got something I want to read to you, if you don't mind, Layla.
Sure.
A note from Mary in Ohio. I just wanted to let you know that I have just purchased my second carton of 20 Made This Way books. I took my first box of 20 books to my women's study group in my parish this morning and sold out within 15 minutes and have a list of about 15 more orders. This book is so important for parents who want to preserve the minds, the faith, and the virtue of their children. Good Catholic parents are hungry for the kind of assistance this book gives them. I am very enthusiastic about this book and would love to see other missionaries following my example. Thanks, Trent, Layla, and Catholic Answers. And then a little bit later, she wrote us this message. P.S. My message to you needs to be updated. I am purchasing my third case this morning.
Oh,
other
goodness.
Friends are asking for copies. Layla, that's from Mary from Ohio.
Thank you, Mary.
It really is needed. This book is needed.
Desperately.
Yeah. And when we come back from the break, I do want to ask you a little bit about the parent who says, okay, my kid is 18 and I haven't done these things that Layla has talked mm-hmm. about. Have I? And she just said, I have to face God for that. A lot of us are in that situation,
right.
Layla, but I want your help with that. 888-318-7884, the number. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And I wanted to tell you guys how great your show is, because I listen to you guys for every day for the last past 5.5 months. It's because of you guys that I came to the Catholic faith. Now I'm going to church on Sunday for the first time, because I just got out yesterday from jail. And I got my mom to go too, and my girlfriend is also going with me.
Wow.
She's willing to give the Catholic faith a try.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Dig it, Nick. Dig that crazy music. Thanks, Nick. That's the brand new theme music here at Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest this hour is Layla Miller. Her book that she allowed Trent Horn to put his name on is called Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. All right, so I am going to go back and let callers have their say, but I want to get to that question about, Layla, you're making me feel like I kind of blew it as a parent. Maybe I didn't prepare my kids
right.
early. Maybe my kid is 11 and I wish I had started early. Maybe my kid is 18, maybe 30. Okay, so now what
right.
do I do?
So, well, first of all, we are Catholics and we are people of redemption, and that's what we do. We're people of hope. There's no better place to be than in the Catholic Church for hope. So, I always just say, you know, if you blew it, or if your child, which she has free will, sometimes free will is a pesky thing, and they're going to do, ultimately, they're going to choose whether to go along with their formation or not. Or if you blew it and you forgot to form them, or you didn't have the words, you didn't know how to do it. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where your Catholic faith comes in, because you are a mother or a father, and you are a praying God, please, you know, a praying mother or a father. If you become a saint, I say this all the time, you know, in the Bible, it says that the prayers of the righteous avail much, James 5:16. So the holier you are, the closer you are to God. So in other words, become a saint. This is what we're supposed to do, right? This is the whole point of life. Your prayers will be more powerful. So if you can't anymore influence with your words, and I'm not saying you can't, because certainly there are wonderful things you could still say and do with even your adult children, but start to be just a powerhouse Catholic prayer. Pray, go to daily mass, pray the rosary, do what you can, and offer all of that for your child, because ultimately, you know, until that last breath, everyone can turn to God, and we want our kids to be in heaven with us. That's the point. So don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. And your prayers become more powerful the holier you get. That's why the saints have much more powerful prayers than we do. So get to that point, and you're not helpless. There's absolutely no reason to think that you're helpless here.
I want to go to calls, but the thing is, everybody just called all in all at once. So I'm just going to do a little thing we call a caller roulette. I'm going to push the button. I'm going to see who's there. We're going to see what question we get. You are on with Layla Miller. Who am I speaking with? Hello? This is why we don't always play caller roulette, Layla. Okay, I'll try another one. All right, you're on with Layla Miller. Are you there?
Hi, this is Rob.
Hi, Rob. Your question real quick, please.
Real quick. Layla, do you see this the cultural tide turning on this issue of, you know, sexuality in the culture? Or as Catholics, are we kind of forced to take a Benedict option approach or engage in the culture? What's your thoughts on, is this tide going to turn, or is it going to crash and burn and kind of every man left for themselves?
Thank you, Rob.
That's a great question. Well, Rob, I'm kind of half and half on that. Like, I have such hope. I always have this hope that, you know what, this is so explosive and so true and so real and so powerful that every human being would respond to this type of, you know, to know about the created order and then live that way and flourish, that I think once, you know, someone in a community gets it, then it'll just be like wildfire and everybody will start to be wanting this. But on the other hand, I'm also realistic and we are under some serious attack. So I have to say we should just teach our children well. We're responsible directly for our own children. And then we will see that if they are taught well and if they do embrace their faith, they are then the lights. I call us plants too. Like we're plants. We're kind of, you know, in the world, but we're plants. And it's amazing how people do respond to those who seem to not have existential angst. You know, there's a peace in people who get how the created order works and how nature, you know, the natural law is works. And so how God made us. So I see that a lot where people find peace being around people who don't have this existential angst. And that includes your kids. If your kids are taught well, people will want to talk to your kids like, well, how come you don't feel suicidal, or you're not cutting, or you're not promiscuous, or you're not doing all these things. And then they can be lights to others. So it's kind of both. I feel we're in an uphill battle, but we've got Christ and the truth on our side. So
what makes you think it's an uphill battle? No, I'm only kidding. Rob, is that acceptable answer to you?
It is. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate you playing caller roulette with us. Anonymous caller, we go to you now. Hello, Anonymous. Your question for Layla Miller.
My question is, when kids are around adults who are not taught so well, when an adult blows it, who's in a parental figure such as a godfather who views porn and then is faced with a teenager who probably someday will try and then will ask the adult, well, have you ever done it? And then the adult that they've respected for how long?
The question many adults fear, have you ever done it? About a whole variety of things.
Right. And so that's going to depend on your relationship with that child and the child's age. Because I certainly wasn't I was a Catholic my whole life, but I wasn't a practicing Catholic until probably I figured out my faith at age 27. I already had three kids by then and had a whole high school and college life before that. So it really depends on the kid. I mean, I have no problem telling my kids if they're, you know, maybe 13, 12, 11, and they're like, what about you? Did you? I'm like, honey, honey, that is not your business. But we'll talk about that when you're a little bit older. But right now, let me tell you this. And, you know, we just have those kind of conversations where I'm still the grown up. There are certain things they can know. There are certain things they don't need to know. And then when they become adults, because now I have 5 adults out of my 8, some of them, we've had very open conversations as they become adults. So again, it really depends on the child, your relationship with the child, what you think the child can handle. As long as you're confident and you're able to express, well, yes, let's say you want to say, yes, I did that, or that person did that. But that was before I understood how damaging it was. I'm here to tell you, don't ever do what I did. And no, you may not be okay. Maybe I'm okay, but you may not be. You don't know. And Christ doesn't want you to act that way anyway. And we want to act the way that we were made to act. We want to be fully human. And to be fully human, we have to act according to our nature. And then you just show them. I mean, my kids, again, you can see all around what happens when you don't follow God's design for human sexuality, especially. It's everywhere. This is not brain surgery. They see it. They see it. So, so you can be honest. And again, it's so individual, but, I wouldn't say never, ever, ever can you say anything. And I wouldn't say lay it all out there, because that's probably not great either at a certain age, but they're going to see it. There's no getting around it. Everyone around them now is, you know, transitioning to this gender, and, you know, everything on TV is gay marriage. It's harder and harder to not talk about it. But that's why we need to start young and really lay that foundation. And when they trust you, when they're young and they can see it, and people have said, and I've heard Catholics say this, we don't want to teach based on natural law because that's outdated, and people want to talk about their experience and their feelings. It's like, well, that's great too, but you have to set a foundation. If you don't set a foundation, what do you have but feelings? Well, as we've said, try to debate anything just on feelings and see how far you get. It has to be grounded in something.
The book is Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. Layla Miller, its author, is our guest. Anonymous, what do you make of that answer? Was that acceptable to you?
Oh, excuse me, that was great.
Oh, very good. All right, thank you.
Wonderful.
We appreciate your call. You know, well, you say that about natural law, and I think that's what you've done throughout the book. You and Trent have just tried to mm-hmm. connect people with there is a nature to things, that nature is given to us by God. We can discover that nature and to use things, whether they are our sexuality or our any other power that we have against its nature, is not going to work out well for us.
That's right.
I do feel like, but people will not reason with you anymore. Like, there's so many people. I mean, maybe your own children will. They'll listen to reason. But the world does seem to be like, stop talking like that. That's just mean. You're just being
right.
mean. That's your cover for being
right.
mean.
Yes, and that is another thing that so our responsibility is first and foremost to the kids, and this is where the problem lies, because adults are equally susceptible to wanting people to like us, and so the neighbors or the relatives or even your own even grandma and grandpa may disagree with you in the church, and your siblings and cousins, and you have to be brave. This is the one I always say. There's like 2 virtues that are lacking today: chastity and courage. And so we have this idea that we just want to just not make anybody angry or make anybody feel bad. And it's like, actually souls are so important, and we are responsible for these souls that God gave us to raise. So it might entail making people unhappy with us, other adults in society. And that's going to have to be okay. And we have to get past that somehow. And that's not easy. I get it. It's not easy, but it's, that's why I say find some good friends. You know, there's so much wrong with the internet, but one good thing is you can find some really good, solid people who think like you do and who will support you when you're weak, you know, and having that problem. But,
right. Right.
Yeah, but we have to. It's easy. I mean, when you start with kids, you can say to them, I always say, everyone get a copy of Emperor's New Clothes. Right there, you inoculate your kids against the whole transgender thing. Start early, have them memorize these old fables and things, and there's a right order, and they're made to be reasonable. Humans are reasonable.
Amen, sister. Really appreciate it, Layla Miller. Thanks for a very fine hour.
Thank you, Si. I appreciate it so much.
The book, again, Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, getting rave reviews. I think it's a very important book. I hope you'll get it. You can get it at shop.catholic.com. Next hour, we talk about your worries. Do you worry too much? Are you constantly worried? Guess what? That's not how God made you, and he doesn't want you to. And we're going to talk about what the Catholic Church and modern psychology offer in the way of overcoming those worries. Right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.